Today is our annual meeting day. We had our annual meeting just a little while ago, and apologize for it going later and this service starting later. It was the first time we've tried it between services, so we've got some ideas how we can tweak that a little better. But so what I want to do today is, rather than what you might call a regular kind of homily, present some thoughts in the context of our annual meeting day, and share some thoughts as we gather together. St. Paul's has many blessings to be thankful for. Many blessings. I think that's where we have to start. But with those blessings also come challenges. And so this year, 2011, certainly is a year of blessings and challenges as we go forward together. And I want to share some information with you and put some of this information in some context to understand what we're experiencing, as well as that experience within the larger church as well. I have many people come up to me sometimes and ask about St. Paul's, how are we growing, are new people coming, and I want to give you some information on that, some kind of numbers and statistics that help people sometimes to grasp some of these things. In the Episcopal Church nationwide, it's actually experiencing, unfortunately, for me, I feel, a bit of a decline in membership and a decline in average Sunday attendance, what's referred to. That's nationwide. And that's a great concern to me. I mean, my own sense of ministry within the Episcopal Church, and not just at St. Paul's, but in the larger church, that's kind of a troubling thing. But here at St. Paul's, though, our experience is quite different. As an example, last year, our membership, people coming to St. Paul's, increased by about 3.5%. We had new people coming to become part of this parish. Also, our average Sunday attendance, which is considered one of the most definite ways to measure things, our average Sunday attendance actually has increased by 3.5%. It's one of the largest increases in attendance that I think we've had in recent time. If you look at our average Sunday attendance right now, from January to December of 2010, that includes July and August, where attendance tends to go down a little bit, but the average of that whole year is 453 on an average Sunday. Now, you may say to me, well, what does that number mean? I don't know. What is that number? Is that good? Let me put that in some sort of context. Before I do, let me talk about Christmas, too. This past Christmas, we had 1,377 people attend Christmas services here. That's actually a 9.3% increase over last year. So people are gathering here, people are coming here, and I think that's a great thing. But 453, what does that number mean, our average Sunday attendance? If you go back to 2006, it's the last time I am able to get my hands on a nationwide study that was done. Every congregation in the Episcopal Church was involved in this with average Sunday attendance. So let me use that as kind of just a starting point. In 2006, our average Sunday attendance here at St. Paul's actually that year was 391. Of the 7,600 congregations that make up the Episcopal Church, when we talk about the Episcopal Church, there are 7,600 congregations. Out of those, St. Paul's ranked about the 216th highest in the nation for Sunday attendance. In 2010, with an average Sunday attendance of about 453, we're probably about the 140th highest, probably in the Episcopal Church, probably in the top 2% of attendance. So it shows something is happening. Something is happening. So you may say, well, what are the other churches like? Let me put that in some context. For instance, the Washington National Cathedral. Some of you may be aware of the Washington National Cathedral. On an average Sunday, when they gather together, it's said that their average Sunday attendance is about 1,450 people. Christ Church in Ponte Vedra, Florida, if you're down that neck of the woods, is one of the largest Episcopal churches in the country. And their average Sunday attendance is actually 1,500. What's interesting about Christ Church in Ponte Vedra is they have multiple locations. They have their main campus. They also have a couple satellites where worship is held. It would be like us here at St. Paul's having here our campus and perhaps having a satellite gathering place on a Sunday, perhaps in West Cary, perhaps west of Route 55. I've told people come from Route 50, that area, it takes them half hour, sometimes 35 minutes to come here. So Ponte Vedra Beach has kind of taken an adventurous way of gathering people together in different ways. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York gathers about 1,000 on a Sunday. And St. Martin's in Houston, which is the largest Episcopal church in the country, gathers about 1,900 people on a Sunday. That's actually President George Bush's parish, the first President Bush's parish down there in Houston. Interesting parish. So that's just some context. We're growing, there's people coming, and I think that's a really exciting thing. And not only is Sunday attendance increasing, but participation in our programs is increasing. They're growing as well. Our children's ministry, our youth program, our choir, our music, everything is having some exciting things happening. Also want to share with you, and if you're visiting today or here for the first time, this is not a typical homily every Sunday. This is kind of a unique Sunday as we share some of these kinds of information as we gather as a family. I want to talk about what's sometimes referred to as the three buckets. The three buckets. What I mean by that. Ever since my arriving here at St. Paul's, one of my hopes and one of my goals was establishing what is often referred to as the three buckets. When I arrived here at St. Paul's, we had kind of one bucket and maybe a few cups on the side. What I mean by that is, what do you mean buckets? These are the buckets. The operating budget, the capital fund, and an endowment fund. When I arrived here at St. Paul's, we had the operating budget, and that, we kind of worked with that. What I'm pleased to let you know is that in 2010, and over the last few years as well, we now can say that we have these three buckets, these three ways of giving. As a parish expands, as it grows, people are looking for various ways to give of their resources. Their resources vary, they differ, and the ways of giving them differ. And it's important for us to provide those opportunities, those venues, those ways for people to contribute. So I'm pleased to let you know that in 2010, we've really established our endowment fund. In August 6th of last summer, our vestry finally gave its approval to the endowment fund. A lot of work had been done getting policies and procedures in place. And since that time, August 16th, since that time, in just 6 months, the endowment has now received both in commitments, in other words, people making a commitment, perhaps end-of-life commitments in a future time, or donations, actual money being given to the fund, we now have commitments and donations totaling $223,000. We're approaching $250,000 in just 6 months. And so we're excited about this fund being available. And I want to thank the endowment board for making this a reality, particularly Kay Burgess, Paul Gregg, Dan Lachlan, Mike McInerney, and Doug Riddle, who really were instrumental in bringing this this endowment about. But I also want to thank those who donated or made commitments, who really made this endowment a reality. And for your giving and your kind of commitment and your generosity, I just want to say thank you for that. So the endowment fund is up and going. The capital fund, as you know, over the last few years, we've had a couple of capital campaigns. In 2001, 263 families pledged about $1.96 million so we could begin the building of this facility that we come into now. We moved into this building in 2004, April of 2004. In 2006, 5 years later, we had another campaign. We called it the Encore Campaign. It was like, you know, another campaign, an encore, to continue to support the mortgage and the future payments of this facility. This cost $3 million to build. And in those two campaigns, about $3 million has been pledged. And actually, $2.7 million has actually been received. And that's an incredible statistic in capital campaigns. And so the generosity of our parish has been outstanding. As we go forward, that capital fund is going to need to continue to receive support. As we go forward, we need to keep replenishing that. We did approach since the Encore campaign in 2006, we've had over 260 new families come to St. Paul's, and we've kind of contacted those newer families, inviting them to consider a gift to the Capital Fund to kind of support not only the now of our life together, but the future of our life together as well. And so we'll be continuing to work on that Capital Fund for its support. Our operating budget. The 2011 details were kind of given at our annual meeting, but a couple things I want to highlight in our operating budget. And one is the diocesan fair share. Sometimes people ask me, George, how much money does the diocese give St. Paul's, you know, for its ministry? And I always say, well, you know, it's the other way around. We support the diocese. We are the diocese. I mean, we are the Diocese of North Carolina. And so we share some of our resources to make the ministry of the diocese a reality. And the ministry of the diocese is so incredibly something to be a part of, not only in our own diocese, but in our communities, in our parishes, in our nation, and in the wider world, the difference that support kind of makes. The past 3 years, we have not been able to honor our full fair share. And I'll tell you, in my years here at St. Paul's, that has been for me the most painful and difficult experience that I've had. I literally lost sleep on that decision. Understood the decision. We were in a tough kind of position, and I set up meetings with the leadership of the diocese, along with the leadership of St. Paul's, to have conversations about that this was not something that was permanent, that we would eventually come back to our full fair share of what we felt we needed to be doing. And so in 2011, for 2011, our vestry has made the commitment to honor our full fair share once again. And I am thrilled about that. I think it's a courageous step, and I think it's an important one as we go forward. In 2010, our fair share to the diocese was $144,000, which we weren't able to honor all of that. That has grown tremendously over the years. In my first year here, our asking was $50,000. So as we've grown as a parish, so has that fair share. But I want to explain to you the formula used to figure that fair share was much like the IRS in some ways. The more income you had, the higher was your tax bracket. The diocese has gone through a process of redoing this formula. And this past year, our diocesan fair share for 2011 was determined by the last few years of our income, and it was 12% of that, which is a great decrease in what it used to be. So our fair share for this year, 2011, is $109,000. That's $34,000 less than what was asked for by the diocese last year. And we have stepped forward to honor that full asking. From here on in, diocesan convention, when it gathers, and we'll be gathering in a couple of weeks at our own diocesan convention, the convention will determine what the percentage is for the following year. And this coming convention in a couple of weeks, a resolution is before the diocese of 11.5%. The goal is eventually get that diocesan asking to go down to 10%. So over the years, that asking percentage will decrease as we step forward in faith. So I'm proud that we've been able to come forward and do what we need to do as a part of this wondrous diocese, North Carolina. Also, in context of that, I want to talk about outreach in relation to our diocesan fair share. Most parishes that I know of include their fair share giving as a part of their outreach. As a matter of fact, I don't know any parish that doesn't do that, except St. Paul's. Now, I know some people disagree with me on this one, and I've had conversations with people on this, but I think that our fair share is outreach. And if you talk to people in other parishes, if you have conversations with people at other parishes, and they say to you, what percentage does St. Paul's give away? Because we give away whatever percentage they give. They're including their fair share in that evaluation. I think when we speak with other parishes, we're talking about our fair share. It's important that we're talking apples and apples, not apples and oranges. So if you look at our budget for 2011, it says that our outreach is 1.8%. But if we include our fair share in that, it's actually 12.2% of money going beyond ourselves and going into the community, into the world beyond us. So much of the diocese's work is about that. And so I think we need to give ourselves credit for that as we grow and see that we touch lives, we touch ministry in so many ways through all of our outreach as it goes forward. Just want to plant that thought in your mind. You don't have to agree with it, but I think we need to give ourselves credit because about 99% of other parishes I know of do that. Staffing. This past year, we said goodbye to BJ, who is now the rector of St. Andrew's in Greensboro. Spoke to him last week. He's doing well. Also said goodbye to Jennifer Shy, who left us and is on her way to Mississippi. And we're just thrilled to have Christine Ingram as our interim children's ministry coordinator. and also Elizabeth Yarbrough as our interim youth program coordinator. And those programs continue to grow and continue to expand. And in this time, what we're doing is we're purposefully keeping those positions until at least June. Because what we did this past year is, BJ Leaving was a 40-hour clergy position, the children's ministry position was a 30-hour position, and our youth program coordinator was a 19-hour position. And people have come up to me at numerous times saying, well, when are we going to fill those positions? Well, our goal is not to just fill those positions. Our goal is to look at these programs, and the next few months we'll be having the children's ministry and youth ministry gathering together. I'll be gathering with them to look at the future needs of ministry and how do we staff those. And so we have some ideas. We're not sure how it will look right now, but it will probably look different than how it did look. And we have different ways of looking at that, and we've put money in the budget for 2011 to hopefully hire people by July 1 of 2011 to go forward in those areas of ministry. And of course, that possibility and that hope depends on your support of that budget, your stewardship, your giving, your continued generosity is what will make this a reality. I also want to thank all of our staff for all that they do. Our staff are not, I guarantee our staff are not people who just show up to work. They are people who have a commitment and a passion for what they do. I see it over and over again, and we need to be thankful for our staff and be sure we're paying them a fair wage as we go forward. And our budget is moving to do that. And I particularly want to thank Rob, who joins us as our music minister. Rob came to us late summer, all the way from New Jersey. Tried to convince him that it's warmer down here, but I've been unable to convince him of that. Rob has settled in. Rob has his own home now. He's moved in. Rob is so committed to this ministry, and I'm so excited personally, and many of us excited about his time with us. And his transition here, I'll be honest with you, was a challenging one. You know, Rob lived in extended housing for a while until he could find a house. He still has his place in New Jersey yet to sell. And after our tenants moved out of the Epiphany House over here on the property, we suggested to Rob that he perhaps move in there and stay there while we were doing renovations. And some people know this, not everybody does, but Rob moved in, and actually that day he was robbed. And so much of what he had was stolen. And as you know, if you've ever moved, you take stuff and put it in storage, but the important stuff you keep with you. And that's the stuff that was stolen, and it's just a painful thing. But Rob's commitment and his ability to transition, I admire Rob so much for all that he has done as he's transitioned here to St. Paul. So I want to thank him for all he's doing, and very excited about the future here at St. Paul's and our music ministry. And in conclusion, just a couple quick things. In terms of the diocesan level of things, when I came here to St. Paul's, one of the desires was that we as a parish become more engaged in the life of the diocese. And I've tried to personally do that, as well as invite people to become involved in the diocese. And we have people involved in our diocesan leadership in many different ways. Sally continues to be the chair of the crisis intervention team, which is a group that goes around if there's a crisis in a parish, some sort of pastoral crisis. She is someone who is called upon to intervene, and she leads that and continues in that. My term on the diocesan standing committee and my year as president of the standing committee will end at the completion of diocesan convention in 2 weeks. And I have really enjoyed that work on the standing committee. It's been one of the really highlights of my time here. I've just really enjoyed being a part of that. And that will be coming to a conclusion. At this convention coming up, just want to let you know that Bishop Curry has asked that he will appoint me with the approval of the convention to a 3-year term as one of the trustees of the diocese. There are 6 trustees of the diocese, 3 clergy and 3 lay people. And their responsibilities are more financial, overseeing the investment committee reports to the trustees, missions of the diocese are overseen by the trustees, some of the endowments of the diocese the trustees are involved in. So I look forward to that. And I've done it for a year, fulfilling someone else's term, and the bishop has asked if he could appoint me to a 3-year term. So I'll be continuing to stay engaged in some way in the diocese. I try to do that each year. Finally, I just want to thank all of you who make up this wondrous faith community of St. Paul's. It's such a great parish. It really is. I think you know that, but it's important to say that sometimes. And I love being rector here. There are those days, as there aren't anything, but overall, it's just a great, great place to be, and I've enjoyed my time. We have challenges ahead of us. We have challenges ahead of us. It seems to me as we have blessings, we also have challenges. But I'm confident that we'll all continue to walk together. Continue to walk together and respond with generosity. I think 2011 will be quite a year. I think it could be filled with, as in the past, perhaps filled with surprises, filled with possibilities, filled with new opportunities as we go forward together. It's been our life here, hasn't it? And I am excited to continue to walk this journey together and see what God has in store for us as we go forth, continuing to support each other, continuing to walk together, and to be sure that this remains and always is a community where all are welcome. All are welcome to be part of this community of faith. And let us go forth together, continuing to live into that journey and as we walk into this wondrous year of 2011.